Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Welcome you to the Chris Miles Money Show this morning. Man, we're going to talk about some good stuff, but I'll tell you, the overall theme, if you've been on the show before, is it's all about prosperity. How do we create greater freedom and prosperity today, not just 30 or 40 years from now? So I want to talk about this really quick. This is going to be a fun topic. Many people have heard me talk about this, but many people haven't. And so I want to make sure I address this one, which is if I'm not recommending people put their money into mutual funds, then where should they put their money? So this is going to be a great one to really consider here today, because it's not going to be quite like what you've heard before, especially if you've listened to mainstream media and most mainstream financial advice. It's going to pretty much tell you to invest in mutual funds, and that's pretty much it. That's your only hope for prosperity. That's your only hope for possible financial freedom. So we'll get into that later today. I definitely welcome you to listen to past episodes as well. I'm really excited. Probably within the next week, you'll notice that we'll be on iTunes. So no longer we have to come on just on the website. You can actually download this through iTunes as well. So really excited about that, and I'll let you know when that happens too. Also, feel free to check out our website for other great information, events, and things like that coming up on moneyripples.com, MoneyRipples.com. Make sure you check that out, because there's lots of good updates. I love to write some great blogs on there too that a lot of times will inspire shows just like this one. So let's jump in. Let's talk about mutual funds. And so I want you to consider this before as we get started is, one, I'm not someone who has a securities license where I'm going to tell you to invest in mutual funds anyways. I'm not one to tell you whether you should be cashing them out. I'm not one to tell you whether you should be putting money in. What I'm looking to do is to kind of open up your mind to other possibilities and also look at evidence of what's worked and what hasn't worked, especially over the last 20, 30 plus years now. So mutual funds is kind of funny, because you have everybody telling you should put money in mutual funds. Even people that really don't advocate mutual funds, still, that's the default answer, isn't it? If you're an American, it's put your money in your IRAs or your 401ks, or it's always about putting money into some kind of fund or something that somebody else controls and manages. And it's always something, some kind of financial product. And, it was within a year, it's probably within about 6 months or so of when I quit being a financial advisor. You have to understand that the things that I'm talking about today are almost the exact opposite of what I used to teach even just 10, 12 years ago. And it was about 8 years ago that I quit, and I said, no longer can I be a financial advisor, I'm done, because I can't teach this stuff in integrity, because it hasn't worked. You look at the evidence around us, I mean, are people better off financially than they were 20, 30, 40 years from now, or previously? Of course not. People are worse off. Even people that are paying off more debt, there's still more bondage. There's still people that have less savings. There's definitely a lot more going on beneath the surface than what people are acknowledging. And the fact is that most people will probably blame it on you. They'll probably say that you're just not saving enough. You're not paying off your debt fast enough. You're not working hard enough. You're not sacrificing enough. You're just being selfish. All these kind of things. It's just kind of ridiculous. It's funny when I see people comment and they spit out the typical type of stuff that comes out of their mouths, and I say, well, gee, that's awesome, but how has that worked? How has that really been proven to work up to this? If all this financial advice has been so good, why hasn't it worked yet? Why aren't people really better off financially? Even people that think they are better off really don't feel better off. So what's the problem? And I'm here to tell you that if you're looking for a financial product on this show, especially on this episode, that's going to save you, I'm going to tell you something that you may or may not like, is that there is not a single financial product that's going to work for you. Not a single one. There is no single financial product that will ever make you financially free. If there's anybody that tries to tell you otherwise, they're just selling you junk. That's it. They're just selling you stuff, right? If they're telling you that mutual funds is the answer, it's because they're selling it. If they're telling you it's indexed funds or indexed universal life or different types of life insurance policies and things like that, they're just trying to sell you something. If they're trying to tell you that it's all about real estate, well, a lot of times they're trying to sell you something. And that's the problem. This is why one of the biggest things I'm trying to teach right here is that there is no one single product that's ever going to save you, ever. It's not it. If that's what you think is going to happen, then you're going to find out you're going to end up like everybody else who believes the same thing as you, which is getting the same results. Now, I'll tell you, the first time I realized this was like I said, about a year before I quit. This is about almost 10 years ago. And as I was listening to a guy teach, he was a trainer from one of the companies that we used for financial products. And he started teaching us things about the stock market and average versus actual returns. For example, did you know that if you lose 50% in a year in a market, if you lose 50%, you're going to find out that it doesn't take 50% to make you back even. So what do I mean? If you lose half of your money, 50%, it means you went from, say you went from $20,000 down to $10,000 in your fund. Well, if you make a 50% rate of return, 50% of $10,000 is only $5,000, meaning you only got up to $15,000. So in reality, if you lose 50%, you have to make 100%, you have to double your money after losing half of it, in order to actually be back to zero, to be flush, to be back to where you started. Now think about that. In 2 years, 50%, negative 50, if you're trying to do averages here, right? Negative 50 plus 100 is 50 divided by 2 years. That's a 25% average rate of return. Average rate of return is 25% in that scenario. Now, why? Well, this is why you notice all the mutual fund companies and everybody that talks about the stock market always deal with averages. They don't tell you what you actually made. They tell you, here's the average rate of return over the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 40 million years, right? I remember there's some funds where we were talking about, like the, I think it was the Pioneer A fund back from before the Great Depression that was still around. It was one of the few mutual funds that actually beat the market. Well, if you think about it, if the market in the Great Depression lost nearly 90%, you would need about a 900% rate of return to break even again. So think about that kind of growth. You would have this massive positive number of a positive average return by the time you finally got back to where you started. A lot of you saw this from Y2K all the way into the late 2000s. You saw two dips in one decade. And then they showed you a 10-year period. You thought, wow, it's amazing how good I'm doing. Even right now, people are thinking they're doing great because, well, hey, the market hit a low about March of 2003. So you look at the 10-year average, you say, oh, that looks pretty dang good. Heck, you'll even look at the 5-year average and compared to what it was in 2008, 2009 now. And you're saying, wow, well, it looks pretty good because look at that bottom that we hit. Well, yeah, of course, if you measure from the bottom and looking up, everything looks great. But looking over time, you'll start to realize, wait, if I was to make this X amount of dollars, wouldn't I be better off? For example, Dave Ramsey, he did a Twitter post that I show often in my events that says if you just save $100 a month for the next 40 years at a 12% average rate of return in the market, you will have $1.14 million. $1.14 million. Now, here's the problem with that. One is I did the math myself. It actually came out to be like $979,000. Secondly, the market is at, even the best of the market's average 12%, average does not mean actual. If you look at the real actual yield, if you were putting your numbers in a calculator to see what you'd really have in the market over the last 30 years, put in about 7.5%, and that's if you kept up with the market. You realize that most mutual funds don't even get the average market returns, right? And so not to mention, think about this. I'm looking at Yahoo Finance. I'm looking at the related news to the market because the market's down 100 points today. It went down from a high. So, you see headlines like this. Stocks skid before earnings. Triple-digit slide for Dow. Dow falls more than 100, drops below 17,000. Stock slips as Dow loses hold on 17,000. High expectations for earnings. Oh, wow, that's like contrasting news there. Market closed to highs for year, strategist. Growth mystery, jobs versus GDP, PE power play takes center stage. Boomers' big bang impact on big farm, pharmaceuticals. Chinese money looking for a home. Wall Street Journal celebrates 125 years. All this kind of stuff that you've seen. Rates aren't going anywhere. All these kind of headlines that really mean squat. I'll tell you from from my own experience, I actually traded, taught people for several years how to trade stocks and options as well. So if anybody used to be a fan of the market, it was me. And I tell people just ignore a lot of the news, because you look at it one day and it sounds like this. The next day, watch what happens tomorrow, you'll hear opposite news. You'll hear things about oil prices, you know, declining or increasing, or you'll hear about, you know, hey, well, ooh, better than expected market returns, or better than expected earnings reports. And so all of a sudden the market will go up. And it's just like this weird, crazy thing. And if you don't feel like following the market, then I would recommend not being in the market usually. Most people recommend trying to be in the market, and they end up not understanding it, or they don't follow it, and then they wonder why they feel lost and out of control. You cannot have financial freedom if you feel like you're out of control. And so when I talk about mutual funds, you got to understand mutual funds for the most part don't do as well. I mean, I'd rather have people, if they really love the stock market, I'd rather have them trade their own stocks and options than trying to go and let some money manager do it for them. Granted, I know that mutual funds can be a better option than doing nothing, potentially. I'm not promising that's the case either, but that's definitely a possibility. And so if not in mutual funds, well, where in the heck can we put money? You know, where, I mean, because people are like, okay, Chris, and I get a lot of clients have asked this in the last, you know, month or so. They say, all right, we got cash flow under control. You showed us how to find free up, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month. This is great. Okay, now we're starting to protect ourselves. We're starting to be in a better financial position. We're starting to build up emergency savings and everything else. But what about retirement? I mean, how are we going to retire? And I think that's a great, great question. And so to understand that question, you also have to understand that how do you understand retirement? Now, we talked about this a little bit last week. You know, we talked about some of these concepts as well. You can't always think that it's always about accumulating money to live off the interest. If you remember that from our last show, I recommend you listen to that. That's kind of a good first part to this, is that it's not just about living off the interest. That's what most people do, and that's a really slow way to creating wealth. And usually most people will never accumulate enough to live off the interest. Because if you got to live off 3% a year, like most financial advisors are starting to recommend today, the old school ones are still saying 4%, but the ones that are wisened up are saying no more than 2 or 3%, because you'll probably run out of money. So, I mean, if you have $1 million, you live off 3%, that's $30,000 a year. It's really hard to do that. Now, some people still believe that the market actually produces 12% a year, which it doesn't. If they believe that, well, then, yeah, you think you're going to be set. But I'll tell you, I mean, like if you would have used that same Dave Ramsey example and said 7%, for example, you would only had about $250,000 versus over $1 million, like he was saying. And so living off 3% of $250,000 is not a lot. I mean, you're living off just over, you know, maybe $600 a month. And so I want you to look at it differently in the sense of, well, what allows you to be able to retire? What allows you to get to a place where you're financially free? And if you really ponder that question, you'll realize it has nothing to do with how much money you accumulate, but it has everything to do with cash flow. How do you produce enough cash flow? And so what I want you to consider is, okay, instead of trying to accumulate money, where can we go for cash flow? Now, again, when I recommend these things, I'm not actually selling you anything. I don't sell any products myself. I don't, I actually offer education and consulting. I actually work with a whole team that can offer products and services, like accountants and attorneys, investment people, insurance people, and people like that can help you with this. But the thing is, I don't believe there's any one product or one strategy that's going to do it for you. It's a coordination of using multiple ones. And especially where you focus around, first and foremost, especially those of you that are entrepreneurs, focusing on your own business first. This is a place where I think you should be putting a lot of focus on money. It doesn't mean that you don't save. Don't get me wrong. But when you save differently as an entrepreneur. Now, let me go to those of you that may not be an entrepreneur. Let me address you first. Because you're not gonna feel the same opportunities. If you're not an entrepreneur and you're not putting money in, first off, I would consider you to look at least being an intrapreneur or an entrepreneur of some sorts, or doing something more outside of the box. Things that are financial products that could work, I like guaranteed things. So, for example, people that already have IRAs or 401ks, or maybe they're looking to roll something over into something better. My general rule of thumb is that you go for the safe, sure bet. It's much better. You have to understand that when many people come to me and they say, I want to make a lot of money, and I'll recommend things that are safer. Maybe they might return a few percent a year. Maybe it's 4%, 5%. Maybe it's a little bit more, which isn't that far off the market. They'll say, yeah, but Chris, I want to make more money. That doesn't seem very exciting to me. And I'll say, it'll seem a lot more exciting than when you lose all your money. You know, I have one client in particular where he made decent money, and he didn't quite understand it at first, but he put the faith in for me to do it. And so we had him try to put places where money was safer, stop gambling it. He had his money like it crossed overseas and things like that. And so we got most of his money into a place where it was controllable. And a year later, he called me up and he said, "Hey, Chris, we need to talk." And I thought, "Oh boy, I hope it's good," you know, because he was a very skeptical kind of guy, and we hadn't talked for months. And so I always get a little bit nervous when I haven't heard from people for a while. Then they say, "We need to talk." He comes back and he says, "Chris, I don't know how you did it, but my net worth went up over $100,000 this last year," and he was only making like $130,000 a year. He's like, "It went up over $100,000 last year. It's crazy. I don't even understand it." But and he's like, "If you take away the stuff that I, you know, like he inherited some money that year, he's like, if you take that all out of my net worth, I still made over $100,000 extra this year." He's like, "I attribute that to you." And I said, "Yeah, I told you from the beginning, earning 0% is not your worst case scenario. Losing more than 100% is." Sometimes there are investments you could lose more than what you put in. I'm sure some of you might have experienced that. And so I always tell people, like, hey, it's always better to have that money there and for sure and have it liquid and available to use for other things in case there are better opportunities. And so that's what he did. Ironically enough, there was $250,000 he did not put with the guys on my team. And that $250,000 he kept with a friend that he's known since the 80s. That friend ended up basically taking that money and blew it. He ran off the money and it was gone. And so he said, "Yeah, the only money I lost in the last year was $250,000. This is the next year, 2 years now later. He's like, I lost $250,000 last year, and the crazy thing was is the money that you guys were trying to get me to get out of there, and I didn't do it. So the one time I didn't listen to you cost me $250,000. But he's like, man, I'm so glad that we moved, you know, about $500,000 from there before. And so so the point of this is for those of you that don't have a business, for example, you know, you want to put it in safe places, you know, places like indexed or fixed annuities or possibilities. Whole life insurance is the only type of life insurance I usually recommend for most people. There are very rare cases where universal life can be good, but not for most people. Whole life tends to be the sure bet and to guarantee that the money is going to be there and available if you need it. Problems with things like universal life insurance is that it's not always available. They have hefty surrender charges and things like that in the beginning. And so I don't really recommend those kind of things. I also don't recommend most people that sell whole life, by the way. Most people that sell whole life don't understand how to use it from a way to create real wealth. But that's probably a whole new episode in and of itself. But whole life can be a great option, even if you're a business owner, by the way, if you're looking for a place to store money that shelters it more from taxes. So even if you earn on average, you know, the way I have people, you know, the strategies I use, people earn at least 4 or 5% just on the cash inside there. What's cool about that is that when that's, you know, at least 4 or 5% a year tax free, and it doesn't have all the worries of the market, and you're then taking that money and using it elsewhere to invest as well, you exceed way better than you would ever do like in a Roth IRA or things like that if you do it right and you do it wisely. So whole life can be a great option, especially if you're looking to not make that the end. It's a place to store money to then be used elsewhere. If you can imagine using money and making money in two different places, it's pretty cool. So there's some great options there as well. I don't usually recommend mutual funds just because of the fact that you can't ever have any certainty. They tend to perform a lot less than what they're told you they would perform. Most of the stuff with mutual funds is overpromise and underdeliver. Where I've noticed that things like whole life, mutual funds usually overpromise and underdeliver, while with whole life, I've noticed that they tend to underpromise and overdeliver for the most part. And it's just kind of the way the industry is. It's kind of weird and wacko that way. So for those of you that don't have business, that's one great option. Those of you that do, you know, I mentioned some of these strategies. Some of these can also work, but I would still want to make sure that it's all focused around how do you develop and grow your business too. So you can store and save your money in places, but when you store it, just like the reason I recommend whole life for people is that it's a great storage place to keep money temporarily. But you know, that's when you have extra or overflow, or when you're looking to use it down the road, it's great to store it there and use it later because there's a lot more flexibility with whole life, much like a savings account, but it's tax-free and earns a much better return than a savings account. But I usually like people to put that money back into their business. You know, many of you have heard me tell that story of my brother-in-law where he said, I can invest $10,000 with you in a mutual fund and maybe make 12%. That's $1,200 a year. Or I can take 10 grand, put a down payment on a semi-truck that I can turn around and sell and make $20,000 in a few months. So, Chris, why would I invest my money with you? And that's a great point, is that if you can make more in your business, why invest all these mutual funds in other people's stocks? Why invest in all these other companies and not your own? I think it's crazy that financial advisors are telling you to pull money out of your business to then put it in somebody else's. That's ridiculous. Keep it in your business. Carlos Slim, the richest man in the world, owns a Mexican telecommunications company. He even beat out Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Even he will say that every time he's invested money outside of his business, he's lost money. When he's put it back in to invest in his business and make it grow and make it bigger, he's made more. Now, maybe you're at a point where you don't want to grow your business more. Okay, fine. Then great. You've got a place you can put it and store it. But consider not just looking there. You know, if you are at that point, you might look at other things like real estate investing. I think real estate can be a great option, especially if you're doing it more than just the money. There's definitely an interest there. Look at it. You know, I meet some farmers sometimes. A lot of times they say, well, should I do real estate or should I do stocks? And I'm like, well, what do you know about? Well, I understand corn. You know, I understand crops. Well, why not look at commodities? Why not look at doing that? I mean, I've known some farmers that actually are wealthy, not because of their crops, but because they know how to play the trading game when it comes to commodities. They know how to play the whole price game with corn and things like that, or hedge their risk with their own crops. That's why it was created in the first place. Hey, it can be a great option, especially if you know it and you understand it and you love it regardless of the money. If you have an interest in it, some sort of passion behind it, that's a great recipe for success. If you don't have passion behind it, if for example, trading stocks and options seems absolutely just painful to you, don't do it. What would make that any different than having a job if you just went and invested in that, right? Don't do it. You don't have to do these things. Don't feel pressured by people that try to sell you their own agendas to go invest in certain things. You know, invest in things that actually you feel are best for you. Find a way to make them work. You know, there's a million ways to make $1 million or more. Don't feel so trapped that you have to just go and invest in the status quo. Don't feel like you have to go invest in real estate, even if it is a great option. It might be a great option for a lot of you, but don't feel like you have to. I think it's awesome that with real estate that making 15, 20, 25% type of returns, cash on cash type of returns on your money is awesome. And by the way, here's something to consider too. When you're looking to invest in stuff, you know, I talk a lot about thinking like a bank because banks know how to do it better. Think about this. Banks are some of the best investors in the world, are they not? I mean, put aside the fact that some banks decided to over-leverage themselves and they had to get government bailout money. Some of those guys were ridiculous, right? But for the most part, most banks, the ones that you don't hear in the media, those are the ones that actually are making just big-time dollars on you. Some of them, for example, when they have extra money, what are they doing with it? They're turning around and loaning it back to you. Who said you couldn't become a lender yourself? And by the way, I wish more people would invest like banks, because banks don't just give money freely and easily very well, right? Some might do it in certain situations, but they're still researching you to a degree, aren't they? They're looking at your credit scores. They're looking at your payment history. They're looking to see how good an investment you are, not so much the money. When they give you a loan for a car or even for a house, and some of you that have been through trying to get a mortgage, think about how much information they've gotten from you. I have one friend that she said that they pretty much asked her for everything but her bra size. I had a laugh at that because it's kind of true. I wish more people, when they invest, they would actually spend more time doing that. Do you know that it's funny that the higher the return that people promise, the less research that people will do on that investment? I've actually seen that to be true in my own life when I've seen clients of mine. They'll say, no, I don't want to go for the sure thing. I don't want to do the whole life as a place to store my money. I want to go do this thing that's going to pay me 25 or 30% a year. And they'll do little research on it, they'll lose money, and they'll get mad. But they'll do all kinds of research and kick and scream about the things that are guaranteed. That's the thing, is that you got to be careful about how your emotions are when it comes to money like this. And so consider becoming a lender yourself. If you could do enough research. I remember asking somebody, I said, hey, I can't keep you accountable. Will you join my program so I can know your finances, I can know your numbers, I can keep you accountable and make sure that this investment's successful? She said, no. I said, then I'm not loaning you money, period, because I can't keep you accountable. I can't control that investment. I love having control because control creates more freedom. And so look for different ways to do it. So, yeah, lending money can be great, but make sure you're doing enough research. You could become your own bank. And think about what a bank does too. A bank, when they loan money, do they ever loan money for a mutual fund? If you went in and said, would you go to a bank and say, hey, I'm actually looking to borrow $50,000 to put in my 401k, what will they say? Do you know it's actually illegal? I mean, it's actually against, you'll have to sign waivers when you do a mutual fund that says that you're not borrowing money to put in the market. Why? Because banks know it's ridiculous. That's what happened in the Great Depression. People were borrowing money to put in the stock market because you couldn't lose. And then when they did, people lost their shirts, right? Well, of course banks don't want to do that. They're not dumb. They're not going to put money in mutual funds. Well, if they're not going to do it, why should you? If they think it's a bad investment, why does everybody else in the middle class think, or even lower class think that's a great investment? They'll barely even lend you money to invest in the stock market. And they'll only lend you the money up to the point of what you have. And then if you start losing too much money, they call it due and they'll pull out all the money and you're left holding the bag. So even then, they take very little risk. They don't want to take any risk of their money. But you will notice that they do lend you money when it comes to things like, for example, business. They will give you business loans, won't they? They'll research you, and then they'll see if you're a good investment. So they will lend for business. They will also lend for real estate. You've noticed that, too. They'll lend for those kind of things. They just won't lend for things that are crazy. They won't lend money into things that don't work. And so where should you put your money? First and foremost is put in a place where, one, you know a lot about it, and two, where do you have some passion or interest about? Start there. I wish I could give an easy blanket answer for you, but if I did, you would know I'm selling you something. And that's why I'm not giving you the blanket answer. I'm the one guy that's not going to be selling you things. This is why I am the financial advocate for the entrepreneur, because I'm telling you to invest first and foremost into you, your education, your business, investing in things where you can control it. And then from there, we can decide from there. And so that's why I do things like money leak evaluations and so forth, where we try to determine, you know, where you're leaking money and what might be a good option for you. So great. I mean, if you have an interest, you say, hey, I would love to know where to invest my money. Great. You know, give us, you know, send me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. You know, send me a message and ask, you know, and just, you know, see if we can open up that conversation. But for the most part, if you're just here to learn or to open up your mind, just consider you don't have to invest in mutual funds. That's not the only option. There's so many places you can go, so many ways you can invest. The options are limitless. Don't think in scarcity that you don't have those options. So, hey, join us next week. We're going to start talking about how to make money without money next week. So it's going to be a great show, so join us there. Anyways, make it a prosperous day. This is Chris Miles here on the Chris Miles Money Show, cash flow expert and the financial advocate, the entrepreneur, telling you to go out and prosper and love your life.